Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. You know, friends, anger is dangerous and it can control us or we can control it. So let's think on this today from the International Gospel Hour. Stay with us.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand.
Hi, this is Jay Webb for International Gospel Hour. Welcome to our broadcast today. For over 90 years, Churches of Christ have proclaimed God's Word through our broadcasts. Just ahead is another Bible-based lesson with Jeff Archie of International Gospel Hour. Let's begin.
Well, thank you to our Jay Webb, and greetings and hello, everyone. It's great having you with us today for our studies here from the International Gospel Hour. We like to say that we've been on the air or online since 1934, and we continue to press onward because of good listeners, faithful listeners, as you are. You know, Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." So let us come to God, always seek His will and His way today, as we study together a word, anger. You know, when you say the word anger, thinking about that word, it might bring a sad memory, a moment you wish you had back. I know not of anyone who has never been angry about a matter. And most interesting is, anger is an emotion, and it's not sinful in and of itself. Ephesians 4 and verse 26 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." So we understand that when we're angry, Paul here, the Apostle Paul, says, "Do not sin." You know, we think of the occasion of Jesus entering the temple and casting out the money changers. Now, he didn't walk in there very gentle and easy. I mean, in Matthew 21, verses 12 and 13, Matthew's account has him casting out the buyers and sellers and overthrowing tables and seats. Now, in Mark 11, verses 15 through 18, we see the same as in Matthew, but also we note not allowing any vessel to come through the temple. Jesus even stopped people from coming through. In Luke 11, 45 and 46, the same, and he said, "You have made the Father's house something that it is not." But in John's account of John 2, 14 through 17, we see he made a scourge of small cords when he entered into the temple, casting out the money changers and overthrowing the tables. And verse 17 says, "His disciples remembered that it was written, 'Zeal for your house has eaten me up.'" So here one would note such a thing is called righteous indignation, of course. We note that from these texts. Jesus did not sin. He did not sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, as Peter records in 1 Peter 2. But we realize Jesus was angry, but he did not sin. Now, friends, we are desiring to be like Christ, but he was the only sinless person on this earth. We all realize the danger of anger. When it's not addressed properly, we can see its damage and how destructive indeed it is. Colossians 3 and verse 8 affirms that anger should be put away along with a number of closely related behaviors, things that we'll notice as we continue in our study. So there is much ahead in this study about anger, and we'll begin in just a moment, but first, a few words from our Jay Webb.
The best way to reach us is our toll-free number at 855-444-6988. Would you take a moment and give us a call and tell us where you are listening to our broadcast? Our number is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just call 855-444-6988. That's 855-444-6988. Thank you so much, and keep listening.
And friends, if you would, and we ask this from time to time, please give us a call, if anything, and just let us know where you are listening to our broadcast, please. Again, that's 855-444-6988. Just give us a call and say, hi, I'm listening to you from Nashville, Tennessee, or Montreal, Canada, or maybe Bakersfield, California, Denver, Colorado, a number of these cities we are thankful to be on the air, and many others with our broadcast from International Gospel Hour. Now, let's consider the danger of anger. And when anger becomes sinful, let's look at this. First of all, we know anger destroys families. Consider Cain and Abel when we go to Genesis, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 9, and the tragedy of Cain killing Abel, his brother. And as we read that context of Genesis 4, 1 through 9, it was the anger of Cain that led him to killing his brother. You know, anger is also a separator within our homes. We know the relationship of husband and wife is parallel to that of Christ in the church. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul uses marriage, husband and wife, to speak of Christ in the church. Think about how anger could separate the husband and wife, that sometimes anger drives us to where we're not talking, and then we begin to, when we do talk, we reach out for areas that have nothing to do with what we're talking about. What about parents and their children? Well, in Ephesians 6, verses 1 and specifically verse 4, "And your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." The guiding of children, not to bring them up or in wrath or to exasperate them, as some translations say, to make them so angry that they would turn away. Of course, there's anger between siblings. I can tell you my sister and I had, shall we say, our disagreements growing up, little brother, older sister. Of course, such is not the case now. But sadly, we saw this with Cain and Abel in Genesis 4 and to the extent that it would go. I'm sure you and I can think of moments of anger within families that now families won't even talk to one another. And you see, anger that is not addressed, it's not channeled properly and not addressed worthily, can bring forth unnecessary damage to those that we actually love the most. And so we need to be careful with our anger within our families. We note anger destroys nations like it did with Egypt as of old, as noted in Exodus 5, 1 through 7. In Proverbs 14, verse 29, "He that is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly." You see, you take Pharaoh, the ruler over Egypt, where his hardened heart led him and his fellow countrymen in Exodus 14, 5 through 8, and how they were destroyed in the sea pursuing the children of Israel. When we think about hearts that are hardened, they are hearts with no compassion, no kindness. They can't be penetrated. And you know, folks, we see anger expressed in our nations. We see the tragedy of individuals who are killed. A simple disbelief. People can't disagree and move onward, but rather they would take out that anger. They would take one's life. We see anger expressed in such things as, well, road rage, for example. Violence, robberies, abuse upon one's spouse, abuse upon the children, upon the elderly. I mean, think about how angry people get. It is amazing when there are those that look at Christians and get angry at Christians saying, you're not tolerant, but yet they're the ones that throw the anger at Christians first and foremost. And how that anger, when not checked, turns into murders, wars. I mean, well, listen to James in James chapter 4, 1 through 7, and see if this is not indeed true within nations today. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace? Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, friends, we know how anger destroys nations. We see the situation of which you see how anger can swing so many things when not checked and not taken care of in the proper way. Now, you're probably saying by now, Jeff, we get that, but how do you deal with anger therein? Well, let's look at one more area that can destroy, that anger can destroy, and then I want to do a little summary there. And then we're going to look at the remainder of our broadcast of dealing with anger. You know, friends, sad to say, anger destroys churches. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul had this problem in the church at Corinth. Matter of fact, the book of 1 Corinthians deals with division and their problems. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 1 through 11, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now therefore it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do those things to your brethren. Now think of this sad situation within the church and how anger would take off, that to be judged, they would be judged by those within the world. And Paul says, you need to settle these things among yourselves. Then he continues in verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. But then he goes on to say, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So, friends, we have seen where anger can go, and when unchecked, when we're angry and we do sin with it, then we see the danger and we see where anger can go. Think about it, friends. You and I live in our communities, in our nation, with our family. if you are a church-going person, these are very important things within our lives. I'm trying to say that, you see, when anger goes unchecked, what can happen? Well, now it's time, friends, to see how to deal with our anger as we return to Ephesians chapter 4, as we mentioned as we began our broadcast. But first, a few words about our television broadcast. That's right. We're also available on television, specifically our YouTube channel. Here is our J-Web.
Did you know that you can see the International Gospel Hour on YouTube now? Go to YouTube, type International Gospel Hour in the search window, and once you're there, subscribe. It's free. Then click on the bell and you'll be notified each time a program is uploaded. View International Gospel Hour TV on YouTube today.
Now, friends, let's study together Ephesians 4, 26 through 32 as we continue our study of the danger of anger. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 26, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." That's pretty good text, friends. Now let's begin little by little. Now, anger, mentioned in verses 26 and 31, this is where we have seen a disposition that dictates the behavior and what happens when anger is not addressed. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So we need to be able to address anger properly. And when we look through this text, for example, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him work." Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but speak what is good. And then we note at the end, "Let things be put away from you, and let things be put in place." So when we talk about anger, and I take us to verse 31, let's look at these words: bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. Now, the first one is bitterness. The word bitterness, when we research its meaning, means to retain angry feelings, bitter hatred, to irritate, to embitter. Now, did you catch that? Retaining angry feelings, bitter hatred. You see, when we retain that anger, it becomes bitter. It irritates us. We have not addressed that anger properly. Well, obviously, when we hold on to that, it very well could come forth. Now, watch how these words build. What about the word wrath? Wrath is defined as a smoldering flame turning loose. It's a more agitated condition of the feelings. An outburst of wrath from inward indigestion or indignation, holding it in, if you will, hot anger, passion, or fierceness. Now, watch how bitterness, retaining all of that, how it is irritated, it has embittered, it's a smoldering flame now that's been turned loose. Somebody's wrath came out. Again, verse 26 of Ephesians 4, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Reminds us to address and deal with it. Now, anger, of course, we've defined earlier That's a natural impulse, desire, or disposition. It means our anger is strong. It means that, again, we can be angry and not sin, but we know of how that can really address and affect us. Now, clamor is a word that means that you've let everybody know about it. Or tumults of controversy. I'm sorry to laugh at that, but it's like we let everybody know how angry we are about something, how bitter we seem to be about something, and that wrath can come forth if it's not addressed. Of course, evil speaking, well, enough said on that. Friends, when you look at the verse 31, you see bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, how each one builds upon another. And we can see how anger, when it's unchecked, not addressed, and we've noticed, we see how sinful it becomes. And these are things that need to be put away, as we see in verse 31. And we put that away with all malice, with that intention, with what we're going to do with that anger. Now, let's think about some things to help us properly deal with anger. And we're going to work here from verse 32 and some other text as well. You know, in Proverbs 19 and verse 11, the discretion of a man defers his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Sometimes, friends, we have to stop and just simply tell ourselves it is not worth getting angry over. I can tell you of a time in my life that when, to be honest with you, I was dismissed from work, my anger declined tremendously. There were times that my anger would go in a direction I would not want it to go. In other words, we defer anger. And I've tried to work within that in a number of ways. Here are some things that helps. And folks, if we just resolve, well, that's just the way that I am. Friend, the Bible would disagree strongly with you. We simply don't live just that's the way we are. God has placed in our paths things to change our lives. To address anger properly, well, we must exercise self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:23. One will grow in addressing the problem. It's going to take effort. It's going to take us deferring the anger or saying this thing is not that important or to deal with the matter before it worsens. Of course, the fruit of the Spirit of those who are after the Spirit of Christ, those who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, those who are walking as Christians, those who have heard that blessed gospel, believed it, and have repented of their sins, confessing their faith and baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, and pressing onward. God provides unto them that fruit of the Spirit. That individual must pray. We note that from Matthew 5:44. If we pray for our enemies, well, that will address the feeling for an enemy. That will affect our hearts. From Matthew 18, verse 15, one must talk privately with an individual. Sometimes our anger over a matter can be addressed by a simple conversation. Sometimes in that conversation, the individual may not be aware they have angered us, may not be aware of what they have done, and in turn, maybe we're going to learn something that had we known that, it would not have been worthy to have been angry to begin with. And from Romans 12:19, one must not seek revenge. There is a line to be drawn and no need to go to such a measure, to go after someone with revenge or that hateful approach. It was some time back when the young man Charlie Kirk was assassinated and shot. A sought of revenge or to stop him because of hatred of his stand on many things. Imagine the measure that young man went through to take Mr. Kirk's life. Now, one may also seek the help of others who have dealt with similar behavior. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so, sometimes we want to talk with someone and say, help me in dealing with this. You see, friends, there are all types of things we can do to help us in dealing with our anger. It seems in recent years that individuals have been advised to undergo an anger management course. Well, friends, I submit to you, God and His Word, well, you know, God has given us the very first anger management course. But what I have found a lot of times, are we willing to work on it and address it? You go to the doctor and you find out that you have an ailment that needs your attention with either medication or surgery or physical therapy. You undergo those things to get better. Why would we allow emotions to go unchecked? And verse 32 says, be kind to one another. Now, there's an emotion. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. When we think of what all God has done for us, then should we not in turn be kind to one another? How should we respond with our anger? I will tell you, friends, it's gotten better for me, but I still have to work on it. And you know, what we need to do is go back to the Bible. And, you know, that's a pretty good thought, is it not? We've got a very special study coming up. It's an online study, but our J-Web has a few words, and I'll be back to wrap up our broadcast after that.
Let's go back to the Bible, shall we? On International Gospel Hour, we always desire to go back to the Bible for our studies. And now we are delighted to offer a special video series through our friends at World Video Bible School. It's called Back to the Bible with our friend Rob Whitaker, a simple yet thorough study that deals with authority and religion, the church, and your salvation. It's free, friends. Call us at 855-444-6988. Tell us your email address, say Back to the Bible, and we will send the link to you. It's that easy. You can go to our website at internationalgospelhour.com, click on the Contact tab, leave us your email, type Back to the Bible in the message box, and we will send the link right away. We look forward to hearing from you.
Well, friends, today we hope that our study, The Danger of Anger, has been of help to you. We hope that you have found this to be profitable, and we hope that we have addressed some matters that will be of help to you if indeed you deal with anger. All of us will. We'll become angry at something, but how we address that is what is important. Let us take such texts as Ephesians 4:26 through 32 in our study to put away anger, to deal therein, and to, as the chapter ends, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I want to give a nod to polishingthepulpit.com. That's polishingthepulpit.com, a yearly gathering, one in Branson, Missouri, one in Sevierville, Tennessee. I've been a part of that for well over 20 years. And I'm thankful today to submit what we call a lesson from the files. We swapped a lot of sermon outlines in days gone by and reached back and found this study of anger. And I'm grateful that I could share this with you today from one of my fellow participants. And we're going to look forward to continue our study together at another time. Thank you always for joining me on our broadcast here from the International Gospel Hour. I'm Jeff Archie, and friends, keep listening.
God be with you till we meet again.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today, and we hope you continue onward with your search and study of God's Word. Please join us next time and visit our website at internationalgospelhour.com.